You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome into the Starcastic Mark Studios, along with Christian, and we have a newcomer today who we will introduce here in a second. I am Ryan, and this is the PGR for Game 2 against the Boston Bruins, where the Dallas Stars fall this evening to the Boston Bruins by a final score of 3-1. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. We are brought to you by DraftKings. Make sure you use that promo code THPN next time you go to the DraftKings app for a special offer from them. And with that, we will welcome in Christian back into the podcast as always. And Rookie, this is brother number six. Well, I guess he's number six of seven, I guess. And Cooper, how you doing, buddy? You doing good?
I'm doing good. Also, strawberry.
Strawberry. I definitely agree. We were talking about different kind of jellies and jams in our private chat, but grape is still the correct answer. Nice. But anyways, Christian, how are you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing well. I would have liked to see a better hockey game, but you know.
Right. Yeah. When we're gonna get into all the details this evening, there's quite a bit to talk about with this game, as there always is with any loss that the Dallas Stars suffer. Let's just talk about some of the obvious things from today's game. And I think we really need to start with the lack of scoring in the first two games from our top two lines. There's nothing there. Christian, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, this game, the top two lines, it wasn't even just scoring. It was all the way around. The top two lines sucked today. Like, the goals that were scored on us were both on the second line. The second line had terrible defense from the forwards coming back in. It was awful. Specifically, Hintz. Hintz had a terrible game. He also got hurt too, which totally could have been part of it. But still, awful. He was awful in the dot. He was, what was he on the dot? Where'd it go? 22% on the faceoff dot.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
we expect bad. Him to be the worst, but goodness, that is a crazy stat. We had five power plays. Our top two line guys are on all those power plays. There was nothing at all. We couldn't even get into the zone on half the power plays. It was atrocious, and that was a theme for the whole game. It looked like we couldn't play offense at all. Like, it wasn't just that we just couldn't. We couldn't execute and stuff like stuff. That was the main theme of last year why we couldn't score. No, this game we just weren't in the offensive zone at all, and it looked like the second game of the year, to be honest. From the Stars, they looked terrible.
Well, what I was really confused about is that they keep trying to play this type of game that doesn't fit their style, and they try different things to their credit, but. And I know Boston's a good defensive team. They're a better defensive team than the Stars. And what's different about Boston is they can actually score.
But
no, you don't think so?
No, they shouldn't be. I mean, the first period they were all over us, and we still only let in one goal. So I think the Stars are still a better defensive team. We just sucked today. We didn't look anywhere close to what we looked like on Thursday. It was just terrible. All the way around. Like, I don't think you could even compare the two teams with this game because of how bad Dallas played. It wasn't even close. The only good period that they had was the second, and only like half of the second period was good. Everything else, they were terrible almost all the way around.
Well, and I kind of commented this on Twitter. I was the one tweeting tonight, and it seemed like both teams both pretty much sucked. The Stars were not getting any sort of control or anything going into the offensive zone. The Bruins kept turning the puck over, and that's another thing I'll get to in a second, is we just didn't spend any time in the offensive zone. We did not take advantage of those defensive turnovers.
We couldn't even enter the zone. So,
but when we could, there was nothing going on.
The only time we entered the zone was when we had Roffle and Glendening in them, and somehow they scored a goal. So, they're not on the same line, but you know what I mean. Those guys are not our offensive guys, and they were the only ones getting any kind of zone time. So, it sucked.
It's just really frustrating to watch this game. I'm kind of going back through my tweets because, I mean, a lot of my thoughts are there. But let's talk about Roope Hintz for a second. Roope Hintz had a decent game on Thursday. I mean, I wouldn't say he was completely noticeable or invisible or anything, but he had an okay game. Was it in the first period that he got his chicklets hit by the skate, or was it the second period?
I forgot. I think it was the first period.
Okay. So in the first period, Roope Hintz is down on the ice, and I forget whose skate it was, but it was the opposing team's, a Boston Bruins player. His skate goes into Roope Hintz's lower lip, and then he goes off for repairs towards the end of the first period. And come back, he's fine. And one of my takeaways from that first period was, please, hockey gods, can we not get hurt anymore? We've already lost Klingberg, at least for a little while. Robertson hasn't even started this season yet. And then same thing with Como, who is one of our better defensive forwards. But let's just talk about Roope Hintz and what you saw from him tonight. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, on the forecheck, he was really weak, which I don't super blame him for because his lip got cut open. In the defensive zone, he wasn't able to put a body or a stick or anything on anybody. So every time he was in the slot, it was a liability. He was pretty bad.
Okay. So Cooper, let me ask you this. So Roope Hintz was also a noticeable player tonight, but it could be either good or bad. What player stuck out to you tonight? And it could be either good or bad.
Goalies. He was really good again tonight. Not quite as good as that first game though, but he was pretty good overall.
Absolutely. He gave us a chance to win the game when we shouldn't have been, especially during that first period. First period, he was standing on his head. They had, what, like 17 shots in the first period?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Holmby played outstanding. He only allowed 2 goals all game, and it looked like we didn't have a chance in the game somehow still. It was just really bad play.
Let me piggyback on that for a second, because at least the first
piggyback
half of
it then.
I will, or leapfrog, or I ran out of verbs. What I want to go from there is the fact that the first 10 minutes, it was a little deceptive, the shot clock. I felt like we had a lot of decent chances, and even though they had a lot of shots and stuff like that, and Chris is already disagreeing with me, so I'll give you it in a second, Chris. But I thought the play was a little bit more equal the first 10 minutes, and then the Bruins just kind of took over from there. And it was that last half of the first period that was really bad, in my opinion. Chris, go ahead.
In the first half of the first period, yes, we got into the zone, but it doesn't matter. We took like 8 shots, and all of them missed the net by wide margins, or were just terrible shots right into the shin pads of the guy right in front of us. So, like, kind of, sure. I mean, we entered the zone in the first period. If that's one of the positives that we can take away from this game, because otherwise there wasn't much. But I mean, it pretty much sucked all the way around, in my opinion. Except for that Glendening goal, then the about 5 minutes on either side of that goal, it wasn't a good night in any department other than goaltending, like Cooper said.
Right, and let's go ahead and mention that as a positive for tonight, because Holtby was very good tonight. He was, and I put this up on Twitter as well. That's a good that was a really good point you made, Cooper. That Holtby, he wasn't asked to do, like, anything major, you know? I mean, he made some very good stops. There were some opportunities that the Bruins had that he made good stops on. But when he was asked to make a save, he was there, and he was solid for a majority of the game.
I mean, 37 saves is pretty major. 37 out of 39. His save percentage to end the night is .949, and he's taking a loss. Like,
And that's sucks. The other thing. And that's one of my big staples that I talk about all the time is that when your goaltender only allows two goals or less, you should win the game. Period. Oh, yeah. There's no questions absolutely. That. There's absolutely no reason why you should lose that game.
Yeah.
And then that kind of pulls it back all the way around to the circle for the first point we made and the fact that we're not getting any kind of contribution from $13 yeah. million dollar Sagan, $9.5 million Ben, Radulov.
And those are the big three right there that they need to be split up. Like even the first game when we were playing well, they still looked bad. So I understand trying to get something going, but it was not good at all. And I mean, even whenever they switched Radulov out, and by the way, Radulov pretty much just as bad as Hintz this game. He looked like a chicken with his head cut off. He was just skating around in circles. It was ridiculous.
The only difference between Hintz and Radulov, though, is that Hintz actually caused both of the goals.
Hintz made the big boo-boos.
Yeah. And so, go ahead. Sorry.
They were both equally terrible. So, anyway, those top three guys, that can't be a line. That's terrible. That line has been nothing but bad the first two games. And he switched something up. I didn't like trying to put Gurianov there. By the way, Gurianov again looked lost in the offensive zone. He didn't look as bad like on the boards in the defensive zone as Henson Regulov did, but offensively he just looks lost. Like he looks like a puppy. It's it's awful. So I don't know if that's taking too much out of a game where we obviously were just bad overall, but I feel like that line needs to go. And I feel like Ben needs to go back on to center, whether that's on the third line or what.
And to Bonus's credit, I was going to mention that, but you kind of already mentioned it. To his credit, towards the end of the second period, he realized it wasn't working and he was trying different combinations. But this question came to my head, Cooper, and maybe you can answer this question for me, but is Jason Robertson really that important to the top, our top forwards to score goals? Is he really that important, or are our forwards just not doing very well right now?
Well, last season he did contribute a lot of good goals, making great plays offensively, but the offense should not have to rely solely on one rookie player like they did last year.
Man, we need to have Cooper on here more often. That was another good point.
Yeah. We can say he doesn't matter that much, but he was second in the team on points last year. And he was a Calder number two behind a guy who had been playing the second highest level of professional hockey in the world for a while. And he completed that Hintz Pavelski line, and he was really a solid part of it. It wasn't just like, oh, he was the wing guy. He was just like, he was the guy next to Ben and Sagan, like, is what it used to be. Like, it didn't really matter who it was. Like, no, Robertson was a big part of it. And I do think that probably is the main thing that is causing the offensive struggle right now. Because even just Robertson in the game tonight, I feel like he gives us a chance every time that he's in, because I never last year we didn't see him have like a terrible night like the way Hintz did tonight. Like he was a solid guy, and he'd give you at least a couple of chances every game. It felt like we didn't even really have many great chances tonight.
Let me focus in on the next little thing I wanted to talk about, because I was a little frustrated, not just with both teams, because both teams were doing, you know, pretty bad on both sides of the puck. I guess the Bruins just sucked less in this game. But what did y'all think of the reffing in this game? I was very maybe frustrated is not the right word, but the calls that they made compared to the calls they could have made were very bad. And I mean, even on the Stars, I was like, that's not a penalty. You know, like when the Stars would get the power play, I'm like, that's really not a penalty. I think there was one or two decent calls out of the, like, what? I don't know how many there were tonight, but there were, let me see, 9 power plays tonight, and we got 6 of them, speaking of which, and we did nothing with it. But yeah. Anyways, what did y'all think of the reffing in tonight's game?
It was really weird, and I'll go ahead and get into it because I know a lot of people are probably still talking about it. The offsides in the first period that maybe could have been offsides.
That caused the penalty shot.
Real time, I thought it was way offsides. I've seen a couple of freeze frames from the game. It looks like it was way closer than it looked in real time, so it probably would have stood anyway, even if you could review it. But I mean, that's just a bad break. I don't think there's any kind of need for, even if he was offsides, there's no reason to change a rule for something like that. Like that's not something that's really going to happen normally. So, and we still could have stopped Marchand, and we still could have saved the penalty shot. So it's not like it was a direct correlation. But yeah, the penalties tonight were super weird. I don't know why we got so many, because we didn't have any pressure on them. So as a Bruins fan, I would be super frustrated with the way it was called, because our penalties did not feel earned at all.
I would be very interested to hear from the guys from the Boston Bruins podcast what they thought of those some of those penalties. And I mean, even like in the third period, especially the first 10 minutes, they were just letting them have it. I mean, just letting things go. There was like, on one side, there would be like a tripping call from the Stars. And then on the other side, there was an interference call. By the way, that interference call that was called on the Bruins, yes, it was a penalty, but really, you're going to call that instead of all the other stuff?
After all the other things that went by, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Overall, it was very inconsistent, and it was kind of confusing because it seemed like they just wanted to do something for the sake of it.
Yeah. Inconsistent's the right word, but yeah, they didn't seem like they had good control of the game at all. And like even between periods, it was different too, because like the second period, all of a sudden it was a whistle party. So like, I don't know. I hope it's not called like that again. Maybe that's just an East Coast thing. Hopefully we get away from there.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is probably a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years of age or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so let me jump from that. It's a decent segue into the next thing I want to talk about tonight is the special teams, okay? So the special teams, it was a story of two different, complete opposite, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of thing going on. So the penalty kill in general looked very good.
Really good. Against a really good power play, too.
Right, and there was a very good penalty kill when Peterson got a penalty. And it was great. They blocked about three shots in the same the same system or whatever, the same play. And then there was a bunch of good clears. There was sticks in lanes. It was very good. So very well done in that. The thing I was frustrated about more than anything, and Dad was here watching the game with us, and he was sitting there yelling at the TV, and I was frustrated as well. He was more frustrated. But it's frustrating to watch the other team skate the puck in your zone when you're on the power play and you're just sitting there like moving your stick around instead of putting the dang body on the defensive player. Get the puck back. And they were just sitting there like watching him. There was one point when Brad Marchand himself, okay, he got a little bit of help from one player, but it was mostly him, and he killed 30 seconds off of one of our power plays. I think that was in the third period. And that's 25% of a power play gone like that And it was frustrating to watch.
And it's completely opposite of what they were talking about, that they were trying to complete with their power play unit and trying to be as urgent on the power play as our guys are on the penalty kill. It looked like there was zero urgency at all. Like, the time on the clock was nothing, and they were just cruising, just going to try and get into the zone, see if we can make something happen. It felt like there was no urgency at all. It looked like we would have rather been on 5-on-5 because we couldn't get into the zone at all on most of those. And even when we do set up, I still hate Heiskanen on the wall. He doesn't look comfortable there. It doesn't look normal at all. And I don't see the point for it either. Like, why are we trying to teach Miro Heiskanen how to take one-timers off the wall when he's already great up top? He was getting plenty of power play points. And we have plenty of other guys who can take that shot. We have Sagan, we have Radulov, we have Gurionov, and we have Hintz, who have all shown that they can hit that shot. And Ben can hit that shot too, honestly. Pavelski can hit that shot. There's no reason for us to teach Heiskanen something that he would only do on that power play when he's in that position, that he's not going to do elsewhere. I don't understand that at all. There's no need for Söder to play on our power play. Unless Klingberg's hurt, like right now. But even then, I preferred Lindell's play on the power play last year. Like, he looked better. I don't see any reason for Söder to have to be on the power play because he doesn't look as good as Heiskanen and Klingberg do quarterbacking the power play. And it's really frustrating having him on the wall and just standing there waiting to take a one-timer when what he's best at is having the puck. Like, give him the puck.
My only rebuttal to what you – I don't disagree with what you said. I think Heiskanen needs to be up top. I think that would be a better spot for him. And they're not really utilizing him in the correct way that I would feel like. But, again, Bonus is smarter than me, so maybe he sees something that we don't, or maybe they saw something in practice that we don't.
Doesn't look like he's smarter right now.
But give Söder a little bit of a break. It's only the second game. He's in a brand new team after being with another team for, 9 years? I think he was with the Minnesota Wild. And then he's also he's never played with all of these guys.
I'm not throwing it on Söder more anyway, though. Like, I understand all that. But
so is it more Bonus then?
Yeah, there's no reason for Söder to be in that position is what I'm saying.
Okay, like, that makes sense.
He wasn't signed because of his offensive prowess. Like, yeah, that's a decent bonus, but we know who our offensive defensemen are. It's Klingberg and it's Heiskanen. And that's it. I honestly don't want another one. Like, we don't need another puck moving defenseman. We want more solid guys on our back end. And that's what I thought we were trying to do with Söder. And now that he's on the power play, like, I'm not sure what's up with that. And we already have Klingberg and Heiskanen who are good at doing what Söder's doing. Like, Söder would have to learn that. Same way with Heiskanen having to learn the wall when, like, there's no reason. Like, why are we teaching people? Like, play to your strengths. Like, the other team is trying to push you into awkward situations. And we're putting ourselves in that awkward situation on the power play. It doesn't make sense to me. It's weird. And it's completely backwards to what I forgot who our power play coach was, but there's one coach doing the special team stuff. It's completely backwards to what he said his philosophy was on the power play, which is to be aggressive and just as aggressive as you are in the penalty kill. It's completely backwards because you have guys uncomfortable in uncomfortable positions. So how are they supposed to be aggressive when they're not for sure what they're supposed to do? It doesn't make sense.
A lot of good thoughts, Chris. Cooper, do you have anything to add to any of the special team stuff we talked about, or maybe the whole Klingberg versus Söder and why Suter's up there? You have any thoughts on that?
They looked very uncomfortable in those positions, and they were not playing nearly as good as they normally do. Especially Heiskanen, they put him in an offensive position, and he was doing good on the penalty kill on the offensive position, which is weird because the penalty kill looked better than the power play, for him at least. But his defense it looked like his defense suffered as a result of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. He was super uncomfortable. There's no reason for him to have to learn that wing side, like you said, the offensive position. So I don't understand the point of it at all. It seems stupid. I want them to change it.
All right, so again, another frustrating thing from tonight. But one of the other things I want to get into is another positive to look at is if depending on how you look at it, Our fourth line tonight, the one goal that we had, Tanner Caro, great. Absolute great play.
And y'all know how I feel about Caro, but he played awesome tonight.
And then who knew that Luke Glendinning was a sniper? Go figure.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
It was a great shot. And so what was y'all's thoughts on the one goal the Stars scored tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that whole fourth line played awesome. They were really good. I again think that line should be changed up, but I mean, Glendinning and Caro played really well together. That shot by Glendinning was awesome. They were the only them and the third line were the only lines getting any kind of offensive pressure tonight. And a lot of the times they were even being put out against Boston's first line. So playing that lockdown role and still getting offensive pressure. So really great game by those guys.
They also seem to kind of take advantage of Boston's not the best defense from Boston. And he got room out of that. And so he was right in front with no one protecting.
Yep, right in the slot. Great shooting position. Rifled it past. And one more thing to brag on Luke Glendinning. I think he understood that his last game in the faceoff circle was not acceptable. Tonight he has 67% faceoff circle. A couple of those on the penalty kill as well. So very good night on the circle for him.
One of the things I was actually frustrated about tonight also, and I sort of kind of slightly mentioned it, but I didn't go into depth about it, was the turnovers on both sides of the puck, the defensive side of the puck and the offensive side of the puck. Obviously, the most egregious turnover was the Hintz turnover that led to Marchand getting a penalty shot, right? But the other thing that I was mostly frustrated about is that the Stars had opportunities to go into the offensive zone, and Boston turned it over in their defensive zone, and we did absolutely nothing with it. There were multiple opportunities. I mean, and I'm not joking. It was probably at least, if I had to put a number to it, at least 7 or 8 times throughout the game when I was just like, great, that's a turnover that we had, that we got from them. And as a team that really relies on counterpunching like that and taking advantage of turnovers like that because we don't score a ton of goals, we didn't take advantage of that tonight.
Yeah. I mean, turnovers galore on both sides of the puck, honestly, the Bruins and the Stars. I mean, but the Bruins could still get into our zone. Like, when we turn over the puck, they could enter our zone and stay in our zone. When they turned the puck over to us, we couldn't do anything with it. So that's why the shot margin is crazy. And I didn't see the time of possession, but I'm sure the Bruins had that favored widely for them.
Random thought, again, just kind of segueing to another thing I wanted to talk about. But I mentioned something about Sekera before the game really got going. It was probably about 2 minutes into the first period, and I talked about Andre Sekera needing to have a good game in the top four. Was there anything that you noticed from Andre Sekera tonight that would make you think that he had a good game or a bad game, or what do y'all think?
I thought he was fine. I mean, he didn't do anything crazy good. He didn't do anything crazy bad. I mean, Bones obviously doesn't trust him still. He only had 14 minutes, more like 15 minutes time on ice, whereas the top three, Heiskanen at 28, Sutter at 23.5, Lindell at 23.5. So he was obviously still not put out there as much, but I thought he was fine. He's obviously slow on that one play. I don't remember who it was, but someone burned him and then took a run at Holtby, which was not fun. But yeah, slow guy, but I thought he played all right. Pretty quiet overall, which is good for him.
Yeah, he seemed ahead, to Cooper, do well. He seemed to do well with turnovers too, as he normally turns it over left and right, but today he seemed to be controlling it pretty well. And also, there was a funny thing where he tried to enter the zone and he just got knocked on his butt.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I remember that play. I've kind of mentioned all the things that I've kind of wanted to talk about. I want to go back to the top six one more time before we close it out, but was there anything specific that y'all saw tonight that we haven't mentioned that we need to talk about?
Boxa has 17.5 minutes time on ice, and in a game where we're struggling for goals, that should not be. That's all I'm going to say. Especially when his face-off percentage is 33%.
Now, when you're looking at some of the time on ice, just to throw some stats out there, it looks like Ben led all forwards with 19 minutes, 31 seconds on ice. Sagan was second, 19:22. Peterson, 16:05. So, again, it shows all of us that Bonus really does trust Peterson, a rookie.
Peterson still played a good game. I mean, he wasn't as noticeable in the offensive zone, but that's also because Hintz couldn't touch the puck without it exploding off the stick.
You've also got Alexander Radulov, just a tick under 16 minutes. Hintz at 14.5. Pavelski at 17 and 41. So let me go ahead and segue into this portion, because this goes back to the top six. So it's not like they're not getting the opportunities to play, because that's probably a little lower than what you want for top six players. Normally those
that's a little higher than I wanted for this top six.
Really? Okay. So
they shouldn't have played that much at all. I mean Sagan's faceoff percentage too, 33%. He has, let's see, one shot on goal in 20 minutes of time on ice. Ben played a little bit better. I thought Ben wasn't as bad, but
he had a decent game. He had a decent game.
Lots of turnovers, though, for him, I thought. But he at least hit the net a couple of times. Radulov sucked. He was terrible. I'm not even going to talk about that. And Gurionov was bad. I guess he played on that top three towards the end there, and he wasn't very good at all. He at least had some shots on goal too, though, but with two giveaways. Ugh. So, not good. So if your bottom six are playing better, play them more. Honestly, like.
Well, I mean, so what do the Stars need to do to fix this for tomorrow night?
Play better. I mean, they were not ready to play today, and it was obvious. That's why I'm saying I don't know how much you can take away from this game, just because they just obviously sucked. Like some games you're just gonna suck, and pretty much our top six best forwards were terrible. They just sucked. So if they all suck, we're going to lose badly like we did this game to a Bruins team that wasn't even playing that good. The only good player for the Bruins was Marchand. So, yeah.
Yeah, our top lines did not seem to work well together. Especially Sagan. He would get it in the corner and he'd just get shut down almost immediately. I didn't see, like, more than 5 shots from him, which he's supposed to be a sniper, which is not
good. And only one shot on goal in 20 minutes. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Not good at all from him. He's got to be trying to score goals, and if he's only getting one shot on goal and he has 20 minutes time on ice, with how much of that being on? With almost 6 minutes on the power play.
Yeah.
Terrible. Shoot the puck.
That's rough. And
yeah,
and,
speaking of, 28 shots on goal with 5.5 power plays.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's not going to cut it. It's really not.
And that's the only reason our shots on goal looks almost normal, is because of the 5.5 power plays. So it was a really bad night for our forwards.
Well, I think we've kind of covered just about every single topic. If we miss something, we'll mention it in tomorrow's stream. But anyways, guys, the Stars will be back again tomorrow afternoon-ish, evening-ish, when they go, and they're flying right now to Ottawa to take on the Senators in a game that will start at 5 Eastern, 4 Central. And again, we will be doing a watch-along with this game on the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube page. Starting around 3:45-ish, we'll give our original thoughts to go, and we would love for you guys to join us on that. I will make sure to put a link in all of our social media accounts and all that sort of stuff, and we look forward to having you guys there. We'd love to see your comments. we won't just talk about the game. We'll talk about some random hockey stuff as well. So, anything else that we need to mention before we close off, Chris? You want to mention the Mizzou game or not really?
Eh, I rolled them.
Yeah. I figured it's just Mizzou. So.
Did your job.
Although, you know, speaking of which, real quick, college football, it seems like there's upsets everywhere right now this week.
Yeah, this year's weird. This year's weird. We could see multiple two-loss teams getting into the playoff if the Hawkeyes will just lose. Goodness. I can't believe they're staying alive.
I don't know how they're doing it, but they are. Cooper, good job, bud. Rookie did a good job on his first podcast. Thank you for joining us, Cooper. Along with Christian, I am Ryan. Thank you guys for tuning in this evening. Make sure you follow us on all our social media accounts. And once again, thanks to DraftKings for sponsoring us and allowing us to do this stuff for free. We absolutely love this, having fun, you know, bringing other people on. And very soon we will be having other fans coming on to the show as well to give their thoughts on what they think of the Stars, you know, PGRs going forward this season. So once again, along with Cooper and Chris, I'm Ryan. Thank you guys. And we will catch you guys on the flip side. Have a very good and awesome evening.
Bye. We'll